Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. North Carolina lawmakers returned to Raleigh after the Thanksgiving holiday for yet another special session. The Republican-controlled General Assembly is expected to try to override the governor's veto of the Energy Jobs Act. Environmentalists worry the legislation would promote offshore drilling and open the door to hydraulic fracturing. Here to talk about the potential risk and rewards from fracking is State Representative Pricey Harrison. Well, Representative Harrison, thanks for being back with us on News and Views.
I appreciate you having me.
Let's talk about fracking. I want to ask you both about the issue and about the legislative prospects. First of all, it's being sold as a way that we can have a relatively inexpensive, clean energy source that will create a lot of jobs, which is something we've heard before about a lot of things. Why is that not true?
There are so many problems associated with fracking on so many fronts. Water quality, the chemicals that are used to extract the natural gas are toxic, and it creates a wastewater issue. The wastewater is sometimes injected deep into our drinking water aquifer, so we have our drinking water at risk. We have these waste ponds, and the toxins get emitted into the air. There's issues related to the infrastructure with the hundreds of trucks delivering the water and the waste back and forth over the period of the life of the well. There's issues related to the landowner protections, the contracts that are they're heavily pro-industry, anti-landowner. I understand that some of these farmers have signed contracts that will give them a dollar or two an acre for the mineral rights when they're going for thousands of dollars an acre in other states and leaving them with the liability for contamination. It's a very problematic process, and no state has handled it well. And we certainly don't need to be creating new territory here. We can just wait and see how other states who do develop good programs are developing them, and also the EPA is working on a study.
What's the rush? I mean, from the other side.
Well, that's what I don't understand, because one thing that's particularly problematic is that the energy industry back in 2005 got this process exempted from the Clean Water Act and the Safe Water Drinking Act, so there's no federal oversight, so it's been left up to the states. And we haven't found a state that's handled it well. And in the meantime, the EPA has launched a study and some proposed new rules that will come out next year. So it seems to make sense for a state that has limited funding, particularly at the Department of Environment, where we just decimated their funding levels and they do not have adequate funding to undertake this. We ought to wait to see what the EPA says about this process.
And it's being billed as the Energy Jobs Act. When you guys come back to town, I guess, very soon, you'll be asked to try to override a governor's veto.
Yes, and that's absurd, because I think if we were going to have an Energy Jobs Act, we talk about the real energy job creator, and those are the clean energy jobs. And we have, over the course of the past 4 years, quintupled the number of clean energy jobs in the state when the unemployment has been at an all-time high. So that should be where we should be focusing our energy, because those are good clean jobs that can't be outsourced and that will be around.
At our Crucial Conversation luncheon, Grady McCauley did a great job of sort of presenting the facts of this and pointed out that 9,000 acres have already been leased in Lee County, which I found astonishing.
It's very problematic, and as I said, those contracts are very sort of industry-weighted, and it sets up a real problem for the farmers who have leased those rights.
There is a study underway now.
Well, right. We charged the Department of Environment, and I supported that bill because it makes sense to look at what North Carolina's resources are and what our regulatory framework is and to see what we need to do to protect our resources and our public health. And we have the laws related to this date back to 1945, and that's a good thing. Here in North Carolina, we do not allow horizontal drilling. So fracking is prohibited unless we proactively allow it to take place. And so that's good. But that said, our regulations are wholly inadequate to deal with this. So DNR has been charged to study this. We didn't really give them enough money to undertake this study. And as I said, we've slashed their budget so heavily, I'm not sure they're going to have the time or the manpower or the resources to give the kind of adequate study that they need to.
What's your gut feeling? Is this something that can be stopped or delayed, or is it such a priority for industry?
It's interesting. I think that if you saw the Common Call study of the hundreds of millions of dollars that have gone into lobbying and campaign contributions, $747 million over the past decade, it's astonishing. And some of that's making its way into North Carolina. And so I think that if there's enough public outcry, and I believe that the grassroots reaction has been pretty strong, I've been particularly troubled by the fact that the location of these are near, you know, heavy seismic activity, so we might be precipitating earthquakes. It's near Sharon Harris Nuclear Power Plant. What does that mean for the safety of that and our Jordan Lake drinking water supply? So we've got, I mean, besides just sort of the problems that are associated with fracking in general, we've got some particularly problematic situation here in North Carolina if we go down that path. So I'm hoping that I don't know. The current makeup of the General Assembly is not so pro-environment or pro-public health, so that's going to be a problem, but I'm hopeful that the public sentiment will prevail.
And you mentioned that the Department of Environment and Natural Resources have been decimated. There was legislation to prohibit North Carolina from passing any environmental or any regulation stricter than federal standards. We certainly are in an era where it seems the majority wants less protections.
It's unfortunate. Well, more than unfortunate. We fought that battle vigorously, but failed to prevail on that. But I think that the legislation that prohibits new rules will be particularly problematic for protecting us from any problems associated with fracking. So I don't know what that means, except the legislation that would authorize fracking would probably get fast-tracked and would avoid the hurdles that we created with the regulatory bill.
One of the comments that was made recently by Speaker Tillis at a meeting in Madison County, he told the audience a story of how Representative Mitch Gillespie actually has a window that faces the building where the Department of Environment and Natural Resources is housed, and that he has a target over the building on his window. And it seems odd to me that a sitting member of the General Assembly elected by people would have a target over a building of state workers, and that's supposed to be an important part of state government. I wondered what your reaction was.
That's just very troubling, particularly since Representative Gillespie is one of the chief budget writers. Diener's budget has been slashed by 42% off of 2005-2006 levels, and this is somebody who is in charge of writing their budget. That's particularly problematic, because I think that North Carolina's quality of life makes it one of the number one states to be located for businesses. It's a quality of life associated with clean water, clean air, land protection, and we just are doing our best to undermine all those protections that we've built in over the decades.
Isn't that also part of creating jobs, is having all those things, having a good place for people to live? It seems that all we hear these days from the majority is it's all about taxes and regulations.
And I think that's a false premise. I know that, what was it, a couple of years ago, Forbes did a study, showed we were number three in terms of favorable business climate related to regulation. It's a false premise, and I don't know how we can dispel that, but it's certainly got a lot of traction in Washington and Raleigh.
There's a campaign coming up, obviously. I guess that's the question the Republicans are asking themselves, I'm sure. Do you think the public supports this massive deregulation, maybe the allowing fracking, decimating a department that protects the environment? I mean, they seem to think that's part of their agenda that they were elected to execute.
I do hope there's some backlash. I do know that last week's election results show that overreaching and extremism is not well received by the public. So I think that probably we'll find that out in November of 2012, or at least that's my hope, because there's so much that's great about North Carolina and particularly its natural resources, and we are doing everything we can to undermine their protection, and that's very troubling to me.
Well, Representative Harrison, thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for being with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Up next, why North Carolina educators are focused on Finland. Stay tuned.